And we praise God that we have the wonderful ways of life written in the language that we can understand. Many of you, probably you have Bibles in your vernacular languages, and we have also in English that we can understand these wonderful ways of life. And we have been going through the series of the songs of the ascent that we've been enjoying so far, and today we'll be looking at Psalm 125, and we only have about 5 verses that we'll look together. But because these are wonderful ways of life, and I want us to pray that the Lord will help us so that we can listen to these wonderful ways of life together. I want you and I to bow down together, and let's pray for the help from the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the words of life that we have, your words that will encourage us, will strengthen our faith and our trust in you. We pray that, God, you will give me ability to communicate these words of life faithfully. I also pray that, God, you will help each one of us to listen to the words of life faithfully. That, God, we will hear your word preached powerfully in our lives, and that will transform us and will encourage us to come back to you once again. Dear Lord, thank you so much. We don't want to be distracted by anything. We pray for the special help and unique help of the Spirit that we can be together in unison as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, please keep your Bibles open on that very passage that we've read, Psalm 125. Verses 1 to 5, and then we will also be referring to the passage that was read earlier on in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22 to 29. So the theme that I want to share with us this morning is that those who trust in the Lord are secure amid surrounding instability, for the Lord's presence encircles and preserves his people. Let me say that again. That's the main thing that I want each one of us to get. Those who trust in Yahweh, those who trust in the Lord are secure amid surrounding instability. For the Lord's presence encircles and preserves his people. Let me start by asking you this question this morning. Have you ever felt like everything around you is collapsing? Have you ever felt like everything around you is falling apart? Think about your life, especially more recently, what you've been going through. That almost every single thing around you is falling apart. Let's say, for instance, the society we are living in is shifting. Politics, very much unstable. Change of government, everything is falling apart. Everything is actually changing. Even in terms of friendships, the ones that you called friends yesterday are not probably your friends today. Almost everything is falling apart. Friendship is very fragile, and so forth and so on. You try by all means to stand firm. You try by all means to stand very stable. But for some reasons, you can't. Because almost every single thing around you is falling apart. Because almost everything or aspect of your life is collapsing. You try by all means to stand very firm, you can't, but the world trembles under your feet. Because we're living in a world that is trembling. A world that is not stable. Everything is actually changing and everything is moving. And you are living in such an environment. And if you will agree with me that you have felt something like this before, Psalm 125 was written for such moments. The moments where you feel like everything around you is actually falling apart. Everything is actually taking you away. So Psalm 125 reminds a pilgrim, reminds somebody who's on a journey, reminds that while the world changes, while everything is collapsing around you, while everything is falling apart, Psalm 125 reminds us that Mount Zion never moves. It never moves. It's never be shaken. And those who trust in the Lord, those who have put their confidence in Yahweh, they share in that same immovable stability. That's what Psalm 125 is reminding all the people on a journey. All those who know and believe we are on a journey, we know that even though the world around us is falling apart, although everything in your life is collapsing in a way, but those who trust in Yahweh, those who have put their trust in God, they share the same sentiment or the same immovable stability of Mount Zion. So the main idea that I'm going to share with us this morning is that faith is actually rooted, the one that is rooted in the Lord, not in yourself. As I said even last week or the other week, that many of us are being encouraged to trust in ourselves, believe in yourself, have faith in yourself. It's not that kind of faith that we are looking at this morning. We are looking at faith that is not in yourself. Faith that is in Yahweh. And the faith that is in the Lord is unshakable like Mount Zion. And his people, the people of God who actually put their trust in Yahweh, they are surrounded. That is the first thing that we are going to look at. They are surrounded by God. They are sustained and they are separated from evil by his righteous rule. Psalm 125 follows naturally after Psalm 124, thanksgiving for deliverance. Because what we see in Psalm 124, we see what the Lord did, what he did in 124. Now, the psalmist, the one who has written Psalm 125, now he confesses not what the Lord did, what we saw in 124, but now he's talking about who God is. And God is actually the unchanging protector of his people. He is the Lord who protects his people and he does not change. In 124, we saw what the Lord did for his people. Actually, Psalm 124 is a thanksgiving kind of a psalm. Looking at what the Lord has done in the past, we come to him and we praise him. Psalm 124. Psalm 125, the one we're looking at this morning, is not necessarily about what the Lord did in the past, but who the Lord is. And who is the Lord? The Lord is the unchanging protector of his people. Psalm 125 actually has got three movements. The first movement we are going to look at is the stability of trusts. The stability of the trust of the people of God. And the second thing that we are going to share together in Psalm 125 is the security of God's protection. The security of God's protection. That is going to look, we'll look at verse 2. And the last thing that I'm going to share with us in Psalm 125 is the separation of the righteous from the wicked. The separation of the righteous and the wicked. Let me say those movements once again, and then we will start with the first one. The stability of trust, the security of God's protection, and the separation of the righteous and the wicked. Let's start with the first one. The stability of trust. And I want you to look at verse 1 and 2, the very first part of verse 2. From verse 1 to 2a, I want you to look that in your Bible. It's very clear. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, those who trust in Yahweh, those who trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Those who trust in Yahweh, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. I want us to observe one thing in this verse, how faith is compared to a mountain. Or if you like, how the people of God, those who have got trust in Yahweh, how they are compared to a mountain. I'm sure it's very clear here in verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord, they are like, they are being compared. They are like Mount Zion. Why are they like Mount Zion? Because they cannot be moved. They cannot be moved, but they abide together. Why God's people are compared to a mountain? Why mountain? I'm sure in Africa, just like in the ancient Near Eastern culture, we all believe that mountain, they are a symbol of permanence, something that does not move. I'm sure even when you have someone who owes you some money and this person disappears somewhere, there's a say that we say in Zambia that it's true, let him go or let her go, but remember one day we'll meet, because only mountains cannot meet. Human beings, they will one day meet. The reason why we say that only mountains cannot meet, because we believe that mountains are immovable. They are permanent. They are stable. They cannot be moved. And in this particular context, the Bible now compares those who trust Yahweh, they are like mountains that can never be moved. It's very clear that mountains are a symbol of permanence. Mountains are a symbol of the divine presence. But I want us to see that word, be moved. Have a look again at verse 1, which says, those who trust in Yahweh are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. What does that imply? When you hear the phrase, which cannot be moved, it implies that there are some of the things that will try by all means to shake the mountain. It implies what we may see like a violent shaking, or maybe an earthquake of a soul that comes to try and move the mountain. So we live in a world that we face realities that will try by all means to shake you around, to shake your faith around. Some circumstances around our lives, they are actually coming like a violent shaking to move you around. But those who trust in Yahweh, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved by these challenges. Those who trust in Yahweh, they are not immune from storms. That's what Psalm 125 and verse 1 implies. It doesn't imply that when you trust in the Lord, you will never face challenges in life. It's not what it says. When you come to God and you put your trust in God, you'll be free from challenges. It's not what it says. It doesn't say that life is going to be always butter and bread. It's not what it says. We are not immune from the storms of life. We are not immune from the challenges of life. But what Psalm 125 tells us, that even if we are going to face the storms of life that will come and try to move you around, but because you trust in Yahweh, you remain unmoved by the storm of life. Many of our friends have gone away from the faith in God because of circumstances around them. Some of them have started very well. They are no longer in faith. They no longer trust in God. They don't no longer believe that even God exists. Many of our friends have faced some realities in life. They've changed their mind about church. They've changed their mind about life altogether because of some circumstances of life. And those circumstances may be challenging circumstances of life. But the Bible tells us to say, those who trust in Yahweh, not in themselves. We live in a world that encourages people to have faith in themselves. Trust in yourself. You will not be able to stand when the storm of life comes, when your faith is in yourself. Don't misplace your faith and put it in the wrong place. Don't put it in your relationships. Because relationships are not stable. The one you call friend today will be your enemy tomorrow. The one you call my brother today may be on the side of those who are actually against you altogether. Now, do not put your trust in those misplaced places. People change over time. Don't put your trust in a government of the day, because government, they shift, they change altogether. Those who trust in Yahweh, they are compared to Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. It implies that as we trust in Yahweh, we are going to face storms of life, but we shall remain unmoved by all of these challenges of life. We are just like a tree. I think there's a slide on the tree there. We are just like a tree, and that tree that has been planted on a granite with the winds, but never uproots. So even if there's a tempest or a great wind coming, because this particular tree has been planted on a granite, it is not going to be uprooted. It will be strong. It may move to shake here and there, but because of the roots that are in the granite, it will never be moved. This is exactly what faith is. Real faith, almost everyone in Zambia has got faith. Almost everyone in your family has got faith. The difference is the object of faith. The difference is where they put their faith. Some, they've got faith in their charms. Some, they have got faith, they've put their trust in their intelligence, because they are too smart. I am smart and I don't think I'll be stranded in my life because of my smartness. Your faith may be put in your smartness. Almost every single person on earth has got faith. Even those who are into witchcraft, they have faith in their charms. The difference between the believers and the non-believers is not the fact that they've got faith, no. The difference is the object of faith. And here the Bible is very clear. Those who trust, not in anything else, but in Yahweh. When your faith is placed in the God of the universe, the one most people have rejected nowadays, they believe the whole idea of God is just an illusion. It's just a nonsense altogether. Some people have encountered these ideas in schools, some in universities. You face professors that will confuse you and make you think everything to do about God is useless. Trust in yourself, trust in your dreams. But the Bible tells us that those who have got trust in Yahweh, you are just like a tree that is actually planted on a granite. The wind can come, the storm of life can come. They will never be moved by them. They will stand. Brothers and sisters, when economy wavers, because sometimes economy of a country can waver. You may be living in a country that you think is stable. But just a couple of years ago, I don't know, probably 5 years ago, so there was a world crisis everywhere. Economy may actually shake. The government may shift. We've seen so many people celebrating and having money and being very pompous and being very proud and stubborn because they belong to the government of the day, forgetting that tomorrow that government may be replaced by another government. And that will be probably the end of your job. And we see some people who have been working in diplomatic services being recalled back because there's a new government of the day that has come in place. Brothers and sisters, these are realities of the world. Economy wavers, government shifts. What about friendship? It fell. Sometimes most of us, we remember, you know, ways back, those who used to be our close friends are no longer our friends. The people we used to hang around with and laugh and smile, they are no longer friends. Some of them have died, but some of them have shifted camps. They've become our enemies. Enemies of progress, enemies of everything you do. It is possible, dear brothers, that even friendship can change completely. So you don't have to put your trust in that. Even money, even in your wealth, even in your connections, there are people who are very pompous. I remember during the time of the President Frederick Chiluba, one of his sons, who was very, very stubborn, he could pick up a taxi or an Uber or whatever from town to somewhere, a place like North Mead or something, and then he's not going to pay it. He would find you with your girlfriend or boyfriend, girlfriend, and then he will just come and get your girlfriend by force because my father is a president. I witnessed one at Holiday Inn many years back. There was a commotion there, and then I tried to inquire, what is going on here? It is Castro, who was a son of President Chiluba, who has gone by force to get someone's girlfriend, believing and thinking that the father will be president forever, forgetting that things change. He died recently. Friends, things change. Do not put much trust in your little money you have, your wealth or your connections, even if you are a nephew to Donald Trump. Things change. They change altogether. Even marriages, they fluctuate. They change altogether, brothers. That's the reality of life. Friendship may change. The one you call your dad today may not be your dad tomorrow. Sometimes you look at your mother, you wonder, are you the one who's given birth to me? Because of how she behaves sometimes. Sometimes you look at your own son and you wonder, is this one my own son or my own brother? Because of the reality of life. We should expect this in this world. We are living in a world that is never stable. Things are changing in many different ways. But those who trust in Yahweh, they will be there like Mount Zion that can never be moved. Remember, you are not built on sand, brothers and sisters, on sands. You are actually built on Zion's rock. Even when your friends have shifted camps, they've become your enemies. Remember this morning that you are not actually built on sand. You are built on the rock of Zion. Even when the government of the day has changed completely, you are not built on sand. You are built on the rock of Zion. Even when things, they begin to fall apart because of the trust that you have in Yahweh, you are not actually built on sand, sinking sand, but you are built on the Zion's rock. Stability, dear brothers and sisters, is not in your circumstances. Because circumstances, they change. They keep changing. Your today's circumstances are not going to be your tomorrow's circumstances. Yesterday's circumstances are not going to be today's circumstances. So your stability is not in your circumstances. That's why we see a lot of people actually developing stroke nowadays because of unexpected realities in life. There's a young girl I met a couple of years ago who became mentally disturbed, a very beautiful young girl who became mentally disturbed because she was not expecting a sudden death of the father who was the breadwinner. When the father died, she could not actually accept the reality of that. She began to imagine, how will life look like now that my dad is gone? And she could not accept the death of the father. And then she became mentally disturbed. She was actually a patient at Chinama. She was being looked after by the grandmother. We sat together, I think Susan can remember that. And then when we sat together, the grandmother started explaining to us that the situation of my granddaughter, it is because of the passing on of his dad. Life change. I always tell my family, my brothers, and my children to say, expect one day a phone call somewhere to say your dad is gone. He's no more. That is the reality of life. Even when we say, no, God forbid, but I will die. God forbid what? I will die. I will still die one day. And if your trust is in your dad, you will become a street kid. Life will become more difficult. You can't manage it. And then you join what everybody is doing on the street there. You join drugs. You join any other things because your trust was too much in one person. Always advise my children to say, I am your dad, but I am not your God. Those who trust in their fathers, they're not going to be like Mount Zion. But those who trust in Yahweh, they are compared to Mount Zion that can never be moved. Even when circumstances around you are changing, stability is not in your circumstances that keep changing, that keep fluctuating. No, our stability is in the Savior, is in God. And in the New Testament, it's very clear that Christ himself is the cornerstone. Christ himself is the cornerstone where we put our trust, not in our ability to know, not in our cleverness, not in our smartness, not in our connections with other people. Whoever stands on him, on Christ, will never be shaken. This is what we see in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. But brothers and sisters, listen to me again. Stability is not in isolation. Remember, my first point is all about, you know, the stability of faith. Stability is not in isolation. God not only gives firmness beneath his people, but God also surrounds them with his protective presence. And this brings me to my second point when we look at the security of God's protection. What God does to his people, he doesn't only give them firmness beneath his people, but what he does also is surround them with his protective presence. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says, as the mountains, in plural, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so Yahweh surround his people. Listen to that once again. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, the city of God, so Yahweh surround his people. But how long does God surround his people? Psalm 122 and verse 2 clears, very clear, it's very clear. It says, from this time forth and forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so Yahweh surrounds his people. For how long? For 2 days, for 3 days, for a month? No. It says, from this time forth and forevermore. And I want us to notice one thing. I want you to observe one thing here. It's what I call the geography of grace. The grace of God. Jerusalem is the city that was actually built in the midst of mountains. For those of you who can actually go and Google and see the geography of Jerusalem, you will see that almost five mountains were surrounding the city of Jerusalem. Almost five of them. But the major ones that we know is Mount Zion, Mount Moriah. We also see Mount Olives, also the Mount of Corruption. There were about five mountains surrounding the city of Jerusalem. And in ancient Near Eastern culture, when a city is surrounded by mountains, it actually conveys the idea of military protection. There's what we call natural military defense. It is not easy for enemies or intruders to come and attack a particular city that has been actually surrounded by mountains. Jerusalem is surrounded by a ring of hills. As I said, Mount Olives, Mount Scopus, Mount Zion, and all many other mountains that are surrounding. And the Bible tells us, just like the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains, this is exactly how God encircles his people. This is how God's people are protected. I want you to think about it. Because these mountains you see around the city of Jerusalem, you know what they form? They form a natural fortress for the city. Naturally, the city becomes very strong because of the surrounding mountains. They making enemy attack extremely difficult. It becomes very difficult for the enemies in ancient Near Eastern culture to attack a city like that. There's what we call a natural military defense. You know, when a pilgrim arrives in Jerusalem and looks around, there are all mountains surrounding. It gives him that feeling of protection from being ambushed. We cannot be ambushed by enemies now. It gives him that it's shielded from sudden invasions, because suddenly you can be invaded by enemies, but because of the mountains that surround the city of Jerusalem, we cannot be actually invaded suddenly by the enemies. But also they're guarded by the landscape itself. In the ancient world, brothers and sisters, elevation and surrounding hills, they meant strategic security. So when a city is actually, you know, built by was and also surrounding mountains, what it meant for them in ancient Eastern culture, it is a strategic security of that particular city. It is very, very beautiful picture. And God says here that just like Jerusalem is protected, military speaking, defended, it is exactly how God surrounds his people. So you as a pilgrim, as a person on a journey, you could see those mountains and you feel that you are physically safe. Because of the mountains surrounding Jerusalem, any pilgrim that arrives feels like we are safe. We cannot be invaded suddenly. We cannot be attacked by enemies anyhow. So the psalmist here interprets them theologically. He says, God himself, not mountains, God himself is the one who is a geography of grace. Listen and think about it. It is God himself who surrounds his people. You know what? This idea of being surrounded, the Hebrew word participle that is not something that God has done. It doesn't say God surrounded his people like in the past. No. He keeps on doing it. It's the idea of the continuous action. God continues to surround his people. He continues to surround those who have trust in him. The Lord's protection is unending, brothers and sisters. The protection of God is unending. And it's not occasional. God has not come to protect you occasionally when you are being attacked by witches or wizards, when you are in a road accident or something like that. God is with people all the time. When his people are strong or are weak in prayer, the Lord is still with them. Because sometimes we tend to think that our protection is our prayer. Whether you are strong in your prayer or not, the protection of God is not occasional. It's not conditioned by the things you do. It is unending. It surrounds us. Think of a mother hen, chick, surrounding, encircling her chicks beneath her wings. That's what the Lord does. He encircles us. That is how God's covenant love encircles his people. The way God encircles his people is very intimate. If you are one of the people of God, he encircles very intimate, very constant, and very shielding. Brothers, I'm here to encourage us this morning that you as a believer, you are surrounded not by your enemies, but by the mercy of God. Do not live in fear. As if those who are surrounding you are wizards and witches. As if those who are surrounding you are enemies. Psalm 125 reminds you and me this morning to say, in fact, we are surrounded by Yahweh himself. Whether you realize it or not, consciously or unconsciously, the Lord is the one who surrounds his people. He shields us. We are not surrounded by enemies, but by God. Especially in African context. Let me challenge us this morning. In African context, many Christians, they live with constant fear of curses. I'll be cursed by my neighbors. They live in constant fear of charms. What if my neighbor or my friend or my workmate is using charms, or maybe my classmates? We live in constant fear of curses and charms and jealous neighbors and jealous brothers and sisters. Because some of our brothers, even if they are blood brothers and blood sisters, they are jealous of us. And then we live in constant fear of jealous neighbors and jealous brothers and sisters. It is something that we experience day in, day out in Africa. We are in constant fear of what if I am bewitched? What if my children are bewitched? So the reality of witchcraft is there in Africa. It is real. It is real. To our friends in the West, they might think witchcraft is just an illusion. It is useless. It's not real. Does not exist. There's no such a thing as witchcraft. But for those of us who live in Africa, we know that it is real. It is real, it is there. And most of Christians in Africa, they live with constant fear of curses and charms and jealous neighbors and even hidden witchcrafts. Some of them, they don't even visit each other. They don't even go to some parties because they're afraid anything can happen to my children or something like that. What they forget is Psalm 125. Because Psalm 125 reminds us to say, we are not actually surrounded by these jealous neighbors and jealous brothers and sisters, but we are surrounded by God himself. Yahweh is the one who, the protector, who is permanent all the time. The one who has created everything and everybody, including the devil, the one you fear. He's the one who surrounds his people. What a comforting truth. Even when you shift in a place that everybody is afraid because of witchcraft, because of anything to do with charms, you sleep like a little baby. Why? Because you are not surrounded by these other enemies. You are surrounded by Yahweh himself. Psalm 125 reminds us that before anyone tries to surround you with evil, God, Yahweh, has already surrounded you by himself. Before anyone begins to think of strategies and plans to come and surround you with evil, Psalm 125 reminds us to say the Lord himself has already surrounded his people. He is a great protector. And it's not something that he does occasionally. It's not something that he does just from on a particular period of time. He continues to surround his people. So the protection of God's people is eternal. The security of the people of God is eternal security, brothers and sisters. It does not depend on us being strong. It does not depend on our prayers, even our fasting and prayer. It depends on the one who shields us all the time. He's with us. Brothers and sisters, no charm can break through this, the circle of God. Because God is encircling you. There's no charm that can come and break that and penetrate to come to God, to you. No. No witch, no wizard can climb on his mountains. No one. Don't stop living in constant fears. Stop. You are not spiritually exposed as you think. You are not. Even when you are walking on the road, wherever you are going, you are not spiritually exposed. No! You are divinely enclosed by God. Just like mountains surround Jerusalem, keep surrounding Jerusalem, this is how Yahweh keeps surrounding his people all the time. You just sleep and walk and trust Yahweh. You know our environments. Your environment, wherever you stay, in whatever suburb you live, our environment is not witchcraft. Let me say it again. Because our churches, many churches today, they talk 100%, maybe 90%, maybe 80% of their preaching is all about the devil and witchcraft and wizards. And this gives many people an idea of the big devil, small God. But Psalm 125 reminds us the idea of big God, small devil. Because the God who surrounds us is bigger, is a great protector of God's people. Our environment is not witchcraft. Our environment is the presence of God. Even when they say, go, you go and visit your aunt somewhere, in the village or anywhere in another suburb, they say your aunt is terrible. She's a very big witch. Your environment is not your aunt. It's the presence of God. It is God. We do ministry in that environment. Wherever we go, we do ministry in the environment of God's presence, not in the environment of these other enemies. Because before they begin to think of surrounding you with anything evil, Psalm 125 reminds us God has already surrounded us by himself. The mountains of God promises will never collapse around you. Never. There's no one in this world who can come and penetrate the mountains of the promises of God. Remember what God says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. That's the strongest negation in English. The Bible does not say, I will not leave you. Mm-mm. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. God surrounds his people. Sometimes you may pretend you are one of the people of God. You are not. If you are a child of God, today you are encouraged that God has already surrounded you. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. You know, it's a longing to gather her under her wings in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. You know what we know? We remember that through the cross of Jesus, he accomplished that protection once for all. People of God are protected. They are shielded. Shielding us from sins, from storm, and from the fire of his wrath. We are no longer under the wrath of God. How do we know? Because not because of our morality, but because of God. Yet, dear brothers and sisters, yet God's protection does not mean, listen to me here, does not mean his people will never face injustice. Just because God is protecting you, it does not mean that you never face injustice in this world. No. Now, verse 3 reminds us that evil still exists in this world. But it will not rest forever on the righteous. And this brings me to my last point, the separation of the righteous and the wicked. Listen to these verses, beautiful verses of Psalm 125. Listen to this. And I want us to notice about three things or two in this passage, in this verse. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, the scepter of the wickedness, the scepter of the wickedness, in other words, the authority of the wicked people, or the power of the wicked people, the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hand to do wrong. Listen to this. Do good, O Yahweh, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. I want you to observe the first thing here is the limitation of evil. And this is very comforting. Our evil is limited. We're living in a world of evil and evil people. But evil is actually limited by God. Because it is very clear in this passage, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest. The word scepter there represents the rule or the authority of wicked people. We will never rest. God has given it limitation. No matter how we have so many people in the wickedness, they are limited by God. Who is the one who determines the limits of evil in the world? God himself. He's the one who has put limits of evil. The rule of evil people, of wickedness, whatever wickedness you may think of, including witchcraft, sorcery and magic, Francmasonry, or whatever nature you may think of, whatever evil you can think of, the Bible says the scepter, the power, the authority, the rule of wickedness will never rest forever. The psalmist affirms that wicked power may press down temporarily, but they will not rest. We've seen that in the world, the power of wickedness. They may try to press down God's people in many ways, but God has put a limit that they will never rest. It will not remain permanently, because the only thing that remains permanently in Psalm 125, remember, is what? Mount Zion. Because Mount Zion abides forever, God's people. But the power of wickedness will never remain permanently on the covenant land. As much as we cry for injustice and oppression in this world, any government we get, we face, people of God, they cry in many ways. They will never stay forever. God has put limitation. If this one gives me comfort, do you know that whatever happens to you, it has been ordained by God? Even if it's painful. It is very comforting when the devil was making a deal with God to go and attack Job. It's very clear in the scriptures that when God is speaking to the devil goes to God and tells him to say, how can I go and harm him? Because you've already put an edge, you know, around him. How can I go in? This is the devil himself. the father of all evils. He does not manage to go and penetrate the edge that God has put around Job. He's seeking for permission to say, can you open somewhere I can? Which means when something happens to you, God has allowed. Because he's the one who puts limits. And when God was telling the devil, go and do A, B, C, D to Job, but D, E, and C, and this, do not do it. God puts limits in the world. Evil will never rest forever. God is sovereign. If the sovereignty was given to evil people, we would have been banished, all of us together. Be comforted, brothers and sisters, that there is a limitation of evil. God will always say, go this far, not this far. Even when something terrible happens, God will determine the limits. If God wants to spare you completely from something evil, he will completely spare you without even you knowing anything. He has done that many years ago for you in your life. But when God allows something to happen to you, he will set the limits. He will say, go this far and not further. For a particular reason that God knows himself. This is very comforting, brothers and sisters. It shows that the sovereign is not the devil. The sovereign is God himself who has put limits to evil. Even the devil himself is restrained in this world. He's not having the all powers. No, the all powers are in the hands of God. Oppression, dear brothers and sisters, and corruption may dominate our land. People are oppressed. We have too much corruption in the world. Even as we read the headlines of our newspapers every single day, we see something like corruption. We see so the damage of society every single day. But you know what? They will not write the final history. Corruption will never write the final history. Oppression of the poor people will never be the final word in this world. No, brothers and sisters. Because evil has got limitation. This is what we see in Psalm 125. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. This is God. God sets boundaries on wickedness. It cannot touch, but not triumph. Even when you have a terrible dream in the night, like someone comes to suffocate you, they've got limits. God is with you. Just wake up and say, praise God, and move on. God has allowed it for a reason. Sankana Manta. This verse also warns us that the fear of evil, because when you are very much afraid of evil, evil will come. The temptation of so many God's people in Zambia and Africa is to follow crooked paths. You begin to look for charms. Especially the Christianity of Zambia here. You know, I remember one day we were praying for the baby. We were doing child dedication of a baby belonging to a fellow pastor. And then one of the questions, I was the one who was actually dedicating the baby. One of the questions we asked the mother is to say, when this baby, make promises now about your baby. When this child is grown, are you making promises that you are going to bring this baby to church? She says, yes. When this baby goes into some issues and so, are you going to trust in the Lord? She says, yes. Okay, when some terrible situations happen to this baby, maybe illness, maybe what, are you promising that you're not going to go to any other sources, like looking for a charms or something, or something like that? Are you going to? And for the first time in my life, the wife was very honest. The wife of the pastor said, on that one, no. On that one, I don't think I'll be able to stick to my pempelo eka eka. That's the kind of Christianity we have in Zambia. We have people who are in church, but they've got some tom porridge, something that they put in to sinipaya. Sinzapaya mamuna wangan tom porridge chavi. Yes, it's a street. Tom porridge. We do things like that. Some pastors are into charms for protection, just in case something happens. It's not like sinipaya muntu ineka, sinzapaya muntu, inyanga chabi. Some they wear mabango, some they... That's the kind of Christianity we have in Africa. Mixture of so many things. They wear what we wear everywhere, what the tattoos we have, somehow, somewhere, oh, niyosunga chapi chikwatisini and akuri montariensi. We are surrounded by God. In Zambia, many believers secretly keep a charm, just in case. Secretly, they visit papas and prophets. Can you check on me? Who is after me? This is the idea of divination. And we like very much, when you come to a church like ours where your papa is useless, doesn't see anything, you run away. Tabusa wani sawaona. Mani nga siri wana ni preaching abwanyi wana buwanja. I'm able to see you. You visit prophets because you want them to see you. Prophet, tell me who is bewitching my business. Who is bewitching this and that? That's the kind of Christianity we have. Some, they end up even going to the extent of selling their houses so that they can find money for tickets to go to Kakanda, prophecy, somewhere in Uganda, somewhere in Nigeria. I want to know who is after my health. I want to know who is after my wealth and so forth. That's the kind of Christianity we have, a mixture of all of these things. No. Remember, there's a limitation of evil. The one who has got the final say is not evil. He's not the devil. He's not corruption. He's God himself. Scripture says fear must never push God's people into compromise. Because you are afraid, don't compromise. Don't go and get some charms. And we have so many charms today in the name of anointed water. In the name of anointed bottle of whatever. All these are charms. You are a believer and your faith is reduced in a bottle of your pastor. Wherever you go, you are in your office, that's where you sprinkle everything. And on that bottle, there's a picture of your papa. What is this? Witchcraft. It's because it is done in church, you don't want to call it witchcraft. It is witchcraft. You believe in water, manzi ameni ya ten kwacha. That you buy in a bottle is because a papa has done business. And these papas, they are into business. They go with the companies around, they arrange with the companies, we want to sell waters and there and so forth. And you come because you are blind, you buy them. Anointed broom. When you sweep, witches will never come and play in your yards again. We hear such nonsense in Africa. Brothers, evil has got a limit. Trust in God who is sovereign, who is looking after his people. You are surrounded by God. The Lord causes people to remain upright even when evil presses heavily. Brothers, you cannot trust Christ and still look for protection in charms. No. You cannot run to the cross and then run to the shrine. In the morning you are in the church, in the evening you are in the shrine somewhere, looking for papas and so forth. We have some kind of Christians like that. In the morning, they come to our church, but kumazulo wariku somewhere ku heroes. You adapa church. Tezo pempe na naimo kusere. Ah, ija yenzi. Kaya kwa zileba mapempe olo maningi. Especially December. Yo. Have a look at another thing. It's a prayer of the righteous people. The righteous people, they do good, oh Lord, to those who are good. That's the prayer of the righteous people. The psalmist knows that the goodness itself is a gift of grace, not human achievement. Because sometimes you may think, there are people who are good in this world. When the psalmist says, God, do good to those who are good, it doesn't mean that goodness is something that you have in yourself. We are not good people by nature. We are not good people by nature, but the good that the Bible is talking about is a gift that God has given to his people. And God is looking after his people. The adjective good there, it refers to those made upright by the covenant faith, not moral protection, perfection. And I want us to pray all the time. When you're living in a country like this or in your area, pray this prayer for yourself and for the church. Lord, keep our hearts upright even when the world bends. Even the world has gone crazy. God's goodness toward his faithful is the soil of perseverance. We persevere because of that. And the last thing I want us to observe, brothers, is the end of the wicked people. Did you notice that in verse 5? Open your Bibles and see verse 5 and see the end of wicked people. He says, but those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Hey, brothers and sisters. Evil people have got a very bad end. They may stand today and celebrate and think they are on top of everything, but they will never stand forever. This is a very poetic justice. Those who abandon the straight path of God, they will be laid in destruction. Just like a driver who ignores the road signs and ends in a dead end valley. Sin always detours the ruin. You may enjoy your sin today, nobody sees it. In your private life, whatever you do, nobody knows what you do. Whatever, and you enjoy it all the time. But remember, you will not go on and on and on. There will be always an end one day. You may be stubborn that God does not exist, and you think you are very clever enough because of the books you read and because of the things that you think and so forth. God will squeeze you in the corner one day. And the only thing you will see there is your maker. It's God himself. He's the one who has created you, the one who has given you life. It is God. Do not deceive yourself and think you will go on and on with that nonsense of thinking about God. He's a great God. Christ's redeeming work divides humanity. Those who trust in him, they share his peace. Those who reject him, they walk crooked paths to judgment. So the psalm that began with stability and security ends with shalom, with peace. Peace be with Israel. That's the last word we see there. Brothers and sisters, true peace flows not from politics. Inasmuch as we pray for the Lord to give us good government, but the true peace does not flow from politics. No. It does not flow from there. So protection, it comes from God, from the righteousness rooted in God. Some of you may be thinking, Pastor, as you sit there, you may think, Pastor, you are preaching to us. What if someone tries to bewitch me? What if there's a neighbor around me, around my corner, wants always to bewitch me? What can I do? The psalmist, Psalm 125, has got an answer for you. The answer is very simple. The answer is they cannot succeed. They can't succeed. Where God has placed his mountains, they cannot succeed. They can't. Inasmuch as they may try by all means to come in different ways, they cannot succeed. Because the scepter of the wickedness may stretch towards the righteous, but it will not rest on them. Fear is the one that makes us exaggerate the power of the devil. It's because of fear. It's because of fear you tend to think the devil is bigger. It's fear. But faith opens our eyes to the far greater power, which is God. We see God. When we come into prayer, we don't talk about the devil. We talk about God who is greater. Psalm 125, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, calls the pilgrim to holy confidence. The world around us is trembling. Is trembling. The world around us is collapsing. But those who trust in Yahweh, they stand firm. Just like Mount Zion. They are surrounded by God's presence. They are upheld by his God promise. And they are destined for the peace of God. And for many of us, especially us who are in Africa, this includes the fears that we have in many carry. Silently, you may be sitting there, but silently you are afraid, you know. Fear of being bewitched, fear of curses, fear of jealous relatives, fear of what? What if something is happening in the middle of the night? Do not be afraid. Take Psalm 125 and read it through again. See how you are surrounded by God. Psalm 125 tells us peace does not come from prophets, the ones you visit every single day. Peace does not come from the bottle of water that you want to get, anointed boat or anything. It doesn't come from protecting strings that we wear all the time. It doesn't come from holy water that we receive from the people around us. It doesn't come from rituals at all. But peace comes from the Lord who surrounds his people. The Lord who surrounds us. If you have Christ, you have more protection than 1,000 charms could never give. If you are here seated this morning, you've lost the sense of God. God is calling you back to himself. Think about it and come back to God. Who surrounds his people? And the Lord is our protector all the time. Faith is not the absence of earthquakes. It is the assurance that Mount Zion still stands. So, brothers, as you go out of this service, let the ground shake. Let it shake. But you belong to a kingdom that can never be moved. Amen.